What's happening locally? The news.
And it is that time that we take our first look for this week, our Monday morning look, some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. The epidemiological report of the Ministry of Health of this Sunday registers 1,942 new infections of COVID-19 and 5 deaths in the last hours. With these new cases, the total number of accumulative cases has increased to 873,794 and the total number of deaths to 8,275. The new infections, they were detected after 9,484 tests were applied during Sunday for a positivity of 20.5%. The report also indicates that there are 27,709 active cases, of which 27,404 are in home isolation and 305 are hospitalized. Those in isolation, they're divided into 27,359 at home, and there are 45 in what we call the hospital hotels. Regarding hospitalized patients, there are 272 in the wards, and there are 33 patients in the intensive care units. The National Directorate of Electoral Organization, the DNOE, of the Electoral Tribunal, approved the holding of an extraordinary National Congress of the Realizing Goals, the RM Party, at the request of its president, Ricardo Martinelli Berrocal. The endorsed calendar is interposed with the hearing that the Third Criminal Court will hold from the 18th of July to the 5th of August. This is for the Odebrecht case, a process in which Ricardo Martinelli Berrocal is involved and his two sons, who are currently imprisoned in New York for bribes from this same company. The date of this emblematic case with more than 60 defendants was set 7 months ago, on the 1st of November in 2021. In this way, Martinelli, who is currently protected from the action of justice because he enjoys criminal electoral jurisdiction as a result of the prolongation of an internal electoral process that was held on the 24th of April, the election of the secretariats of the women and youth. Well, this would further extend his legal armor. The Tribunal Electoral published this Friday, June the 3rd, the calendar and regulations for this political event. The date of the Congress will be the 24th of July, but the electoral process has already begun with its publication in the Electoral Bulletin 5067. This is the resolution that bears the signature of the person in charge of the DNOE, Osman Valdez. The National Directorate of Electoral Organization of the Tribunal Electoral, led by Osman Valdez, approved the electoral calendar and regulations of the party, chaired by Martinelli, to hold an extraordinary National Congress in order to choose the vacant positions of the members of the RM Board of Directors. In addition, it is intended to approve modifications to the party's statute. These positions were left vacant after Martinelli announced to the Tribunal Electoral through a letter sent on the 19th of April the resignation of members of the board. Well, to date, it is unknown who resigned and what positions were left vacant. The political activity, according to the documentation published by the Tribunal Electoral, will take place on Sunday, the 24th of July, 6 days after the start of the hearing of the Odebrecht case. However, the calendar began to run from its publication, which was this Friday, the 3rd of June, in the Electoral Bulletin of the Tribunal Electoral. It establishes more than 60 phases that exceed the date of the development of the Odebrecht hearing, set from November the 1st of 2021 by the Third Liquidator Court of Criminal Cases in charge of Baloisa Martinez. In this case, there are 62 people charged with the alleged commission of the crimes of money laundering and corruption of public servants. Among them are the former president and his children, Ricardo Alberto and Luis Enrique Martinelli Linares. In that hearing, it was revealed that the final beneficiary of the bribes was Martinelli Berrocal. In his decision to approve the new RM calendar, Osman Valdez cites Article 329 of the Electoral Code, which establishes that the calling and opening of electoral processes corresponds to the parties, in coordination with the Tribunal Electoral. This article was regulated by Decree 19 of the 6th of April, which established 62 phases of components of an electoral calendar. Up until Sunday, 43 people had presented their documentation to replace Jose Ayu Prado in the Criminal Chamber of the Supreme Court of Justice. The only thing that is known about most of these applicants is that they are Panamanian, lawyers, and over the age of 35. It's not known if they have mastered criminal law, or if they have capacity to apply the law, or have common sense and the maturity to conduct themselves before other powers of the state and deal more decorously with an apparently trivial issue, such as the invitation to a deputy's wedding. At a time when the city of Panama faces a possible health risk due to the accumulation of garbage in areas of several communities, the state apparatus faces a great challenge, the prompt implementation of Law 276 of the 30th of December last year. This is on garbage management, comprehensive solid waste program in Panama. This regulation, published in the Official Gazette on the 31st of December of last year, is supposed to be the roadmap to change the dynamics of years of laziness in relation to the collection and disposal of waste in the country, and will come into force next month, that is to say, in July. What does this new regulation establish? Well, according to the document, which consists of 84 articles, entities such as the Urban and Home Cleaning Authority, the AAUD, the Ministry of Health, and the municipalities will assume the functions of the responsibility of garbage management in the country. In the case of the first two entities, they have a term of 1 year, once the law begins to govern, to prepare a comprehensive waste management plan, which will be a binding element. Meanwhile, the municipalities must create a municipal waste management plan, prior approval of the cleansing authority, and the public consultation with the communities. Even the Ministry of Education must create an education program for waste management, which will be taught at all levels of education. This legal framework also creates incentives for companies engaged in the activity. For example, it allows natural or legal persons who venture into the activity of reuse benefits, such as the annual rate of 15% of income tax, an exemption from the payment of tax on the transfer of movable goods and services, the ITBMS, on transactions of purchase and sale of recovered waste. After almost 2 months of questions about the whereabouts of more than 9,000 books in the library of the National Institute, the Ministry of Education, MEDUCA, begins to, well, give clues as to what happened. Moisture, fungi, termites and mites turned a large percentage of the books in the Nido de Aguilas library into waste and could have become a health problem among students, teachers and administrative staff due to the unsanitary conditions that was presented in the library, indicated a statement from the entity detailing that on the 1st of June, MEDUCA representatives gave details of the subject to students and teachers in a meeting at the IN headquarters where the rector participated. Well, Roxana Casanova and Vice-Chancellor Richard Dinger, accordingly to the statement, which cites the auditor, this is Santos Panilla, in November of 2019, there were 9,583 books, of which 98% showed deterioration. The one who was not invited to the meeting nor received any information was the teacher Elena Golcher, who had denounced the disappearance of the books, some of them with great historical and patrimonial value. On March the 14th of 2022, and based on Article 41 of the Constitution on the right to petition, Golcher asked the Director of Patrimonial Assets of the MEDUCA, this is Annabel Stanziola, for an explanation, where he sent a copy of this note to Maruja Gorde de Villalobos, owner of, head of MEDUCA, receiving no response. He filed a habeas data against MEDUCA on the 9th of May, before the Supreme Court of Justice, which was left in the hands of Judge Olmedo Arrocha. According to Gorde de Villalobos, she had ordered an audit, and fortunately it was concluded that the books and yearbooks with historical value were not destroyed. Golcher, however, was not satisfied with this answer. She says that many questions remain, especially tied to the process they used to dispose of the damaged books. The printer asked Casanova, and this was his response. I think the MEDUCA responded, and the corresponding investigations are currently being carried out. He avoided any further comment. The Chamber of Commerce, Industries and Agriculture of Panama made an urgent call to local authorities throughout the country so that once and for all they give the decentralization law the use and character for which it was created. The statement of the CCIAP arises as a result of the different claims and protests of the communities that ask for answers to their basic needs. For the CCIAP, the discomfort expressed by residents of the provinces of Colón, Bocas del Toro, Chiriquí, Panama and West Panama, among others, are a clear sign that the decentralization law is not fulfilling its mission. For decades, these authorities rightly demanded a more equitable endowment of the resources that the central government absorbed almost entirely. Finally, the law was approved, but instead of respecting its spirit, we frequently see its use in matters very different from community emergencies. In another example of what a weak institutional framework generates, the organization stated through its Sunday column, Camero Pina. The business group stated that such a law executed with transparency, agility and critical thinking would not only give excellent results to thousands of Panamanians in their communities, but would also reactivate a large sector of micro, small and medium-sized companies. The growing community malaise adds to the column. Demands that need to be printed in the search for solutions with real times and fluid communication that fosters understanding. It's not about giving decentralization more resources, but that local authorities use what they have and demonstrate with actions that they are worthy of the trust to administer those monies that belong to all of us, specifies the CCIAP. Through Executive Decree 587, the Decentralization Secretariat was elevated to the rank of National Decentralization Authority, which should guarantee more agility of the processes and ensure greater citizen participation, and with it, that the resources are used in real priority projects for the population of each municipality and each corregimiento, as indicated in the website of the said institution. The Canadian national team reported on Sunday that the friendly match scheduled for Sunday against Panama at BC Place in Vancouver was cancelled. A tweet from the Canadian national team notes that additional details will be provided to all ticket buyers soon. For its part, the Panamanian Soccer Federation also announced on its Twitter account that the Canadian Soccer Association cancelled the friendly match, and that was scheduled for Sunday between both teams. Canadian media point out that the cancellation of the game is due to a protest made by the team, led by John Herdman, as a demand for benefits for the players heading to Qatar 2022. The AFP reported that the game was cancelled 2 hours before it was due to start, amid reports of a players' strike stemming from a dispute with the Canadian Federation. In a statement, the members of the Canadian team had advanced their refusal to play against Panama due to a series of economic and sports demands that have not been met by the Federation. One of the points is the requirement of equal pay for the Canadian men's and women's teams, it was added. Well, for its part, the Sele of Panama will return to the country last night, and this is to continue their training before the commitment to Martinique in the CONCACAF Nations League. The tourism industry is beginning to show signs of recovery in Panama. The arrival of international tourists grew between January and February by 399.1%. This is going from 54,619 tourists in the first 2 months of 2021 to 272,622 tourists in the same months of this year. This is according to the report of the Tourism Authority of Panama, the ATP. Through the Tocumen International Airport, 216,057 international travellers entered, which represented 79.3%. While through Paso Canoas, there was 15,573 people, in cruise ports, 17,150, and through other ports of entry, 23,842 people is calculated. According to preliminary figures corresponding to hotels with a tourism category in Panama City in the period from January to February of this year, the Panamanian Association of Hotels, APATEL, estimates that the percentage of occupancy is around about 58%, since that of the 32,000 hotel rooms, there are approximately 9,000 rooms that are out of inventory because they are not enough, or there are not enough visitors, and some hotels are being used for patients with COVID-19. The foreign exchange income registered in the period from January to February of this year due to the arrival of international tourists was $707.7 million, a figure that does not include international transport. This amount of resources reflects an increase of 197.2% compared to $238.1 million generated in January and February of last year. According to the ATP, the average length of stay for a visitor in Panama is approximately 8 days, and they spend an average of $2,595 per stay, which is equivalent to $324 per day. And that's it. There we go. That's our look. Some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama compiled for you on this morning's breakfast show.